hadn't been an Avengers movie yet. So, you know, long enough. And then yesterday, I was sorting out some of the sermons on our podcast site, and I noticed April 16th, 2017, The Naked Gardener. Oh, no. I had already bowed to public pressure just 2 years ago. I had revisited The Naked Gardener. How did I miss that? I mean, seriously, how did I not notice or remember? It's kind of like having a guy walk up to you and you don't realize it is Jesus, you know? Starting a conversation with a man who is your teacher, your friend, your Lord and Savior, and you think he's the gardener. How could you not realize who it was? All right? That was our first gospel this morning. Mary didn't recognize Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that I'm like Mary or anything, but I will be milking her confusion to make me feel better about my own mistake. And maybe just give me a sermon. And it's not just that Easter story. The second one that we heard, Cleopas and his partner are on the road to Emmaus. Jesus had been executed just the day before yesterday. There's been talk of the tomb being empty today, but then there's also a worry that the authorities are going to think that the Jesus followers have stolen the body, so best to get the heck out of town. Run away. And it's while they're getting out of town that they find themselves walking with Jesus. A Jesus who, you know, between us, must have had a great smirk on his face as he asked, "So, what are you guys talking about? Who died? Oh, would I know him? No. So, it was a big deal, a trial, everything? Ooh, tell me about it." And they gladly tell Jesus all about himself, completely clueless to whom they're speaking. How could they not realize it? They saw him just the other day, right? I mean, I get it if you run into an old classmate from high school, you know, a high school reunion, haven't seen him in years, you were in senior orchestra together, you know. "Joe, is that you? Oh my God, I didn't recognize you. Do you still play the oboe?" I get that. But if you'd seen your brother on Thursday, you'd probably recognize him at Easter dinner on Sunday. Don't you think? Jesus is your brother, not a former oboe player. Or oboist, I don't know, I'm no biblical scholar. It's one of those things. So, I think we could probably take some time right now to talk about how the resurrected Jesus has changed. Absolutely, this would be a good time for a little theology, but I think I'm going to save that for another time. And simply note that both Mary and the Cleopas couple will come to recognize Jesus at the end of the encounter. So I don't think that it's a matter of Jesus morphing into a different face. So why didn't they recognize the risen Christ? I think it's context. You ever run into somebody from work at a friend's party and then you don't recognize them because they're not at work, right? They're at your friend's house, and how the heck do they know Angela? It doesn't make any sense. That can't be Owen over there. We're not at the gym. I live in a cul-de-sac of 16 houses. And one day, I saw a woman walking past my house. She looked strangely like my cousin Sally. I came out and I called to her, "Sally?" And she turned around and said, "Norman." "Wow, what are you doing here?" I asked. "Oh, I live here," she replied, as she pointed to her house, just across the street, four doors down. "No kidding, what a small world. When did you move in?" "About 11 years ago," she said. I had lived across the street from my cousin for over a decade and not recognized her. She was out of context. She was supposed to be on Manitoulin Island, not across the street, right? So Mary came out of the tomb to tend to the body of Jesus, but the body wasn't there. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. And when he approached her in her grief, she looked right at him but didn't recognize him because he was supposed to be in the tomb, not standing in front of her. When Cleopas and companion were on the road to Emmaus and Jesus fell in with them to tease them and talk, they didn't recognize him because he wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to be in the tomb, not on the road walking with them. Easter, if nothing else, Easter tells us that Jesus is not in the tomb. Now, we can talk bodily resurrection, spiritual resurrection, any kind of resurrection that you want, but the bottom line is, Jesus is not in the tomb. And yet, we kind of act like he is a lot of the time, don't we? Mary was living in the world as if Jesus was dead, right? She was weeping for her loss. She was seeing the world as if Jesus was still in the tomb, even though he wasn't there. And she wept at the memory. Cleopas was walking along, seeing the world as if Jesus was dead. Soon be collection of wonderful teachings and wise sayings, but pretty much done. Not a living presence in the world. It's one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk. Cleopas knew the talk, but he thought he was walking alone. Because you know what? He'd made no change in the way he was living. He was walking the way he always did. He was doing what he always did. He'd made no changes. I know some folks, they want to do the right thing. They are committed to change. They want the world to be better. So they invite women to the table, but then they expect them to act like men. They invite people of varied cultures and viewpoints into decision-making, but then expect them to follow the same process and come to the same conclusions as the people who have made all the decisions in the past. They talk about reconciliation, but they expect the wounded and excluded to do all the work while saying the right things. Good talkers, but they tend to walk alone. That's the way of the tomb. That's not the way of new life. The way of new life means walking with others and seeing Jesus, recognizing Jesus, walking with you, going a new way. For me personally, I know my faith. I can recite creeds and quote great theologians. I can remember chapters and verses from the Bible. I could amaze you with my knowledge of Greek. I love Jesus. But every now and then, as someone really tries my patience, or steps on my emotional toes, or refuses to see how right I am, I feel very alone on the road, and I start to act like Jesus is still in the tomb. Like Mary in that moment, or the travelers on the road, I may have great faith, but it's all centered on a dead guy. So I don't recognize the living Christ right in front of me, right beside me, inviting me to go a new way. It's focused on a dead guy who's never going to change and certainly never invite me into change. How about you? Is your faith resurrected or is it built on a dead guy? Is it living? Is it dead? This morning we celebrate a baptism and promise to make faith a living thing. Some folks in our community reaffirmed their faith as a commitment to growth and learning and doing, a living faith. For them, Jesus is not in the tomb. When you meet the needy stranger, and by needy I mean needing perhaps money or conversation or some of your time or forgiveness, do you feel like you have nothing to give? I mean, you're a good person, but you know, you only have so much and there is just no more. So you avert your eyes, you walk on, you don't engage. Someone who has hurt you is asking for forgiveness. Do you look inside yourself and say, I've got nothing. There's no way. I can't forgive you. That's a faith centered on a dead guy. It might have some inspirational lessons, some really great stuff to put up on Instagram, good advice, lovely sharp words to throw at non-believers. But it's not living. It's not changing. It's a faith based on limited resources. And when the tank is empty, it's over. Jesus could be standing right in front of you, but you can no longer see because you're done looking. Ever felt exhausted, defeated? You can't possibly win. Even though you know the cause is worth the fight, even though you know that it matters, the bad guys have won. They're bigger, stronger, probably smarter, certainly better leveraged. It's just gone wrong, and you just want to hide. What faith is it that's going to bring you back to life? Faith in a dead guy who's still in the tomb? Or faith in a living God who walks with you, knows you, and will not be defeated even by death? A faith that's not based on limited resources, but is powered by resurrection. That's what we're saying this morning. When we come out here this morning, we're saying we believe, we have a faith that's powered by resurrection. How daring could it make you if you lived actually believing that Jesus is living, not just across the street for the last 11 years, but in your midst always? How brave would that make you? How strong? How hopeful? And as long as we're being honest with each other, then I feel we are. I've been the guy who invited new people and new ideas and new hope to the table, only to do everything in my power to make them look, sound, and act just like me. I have been guilty of aspirational dreams that have been brought down by my own insecurities and fear. And I have been so angry at myself. I've wanted to give up on myself. I've wrapped myself around a dead guy in the tomb, and I have wallowed in how it's all my fault. I suck. I'm not good enough to live into my dreams and my ideals. And then Easter comes along and reminds me that he didn't stay in the tomb. Jesus emerged and went to those who had given up, who had belief and unbelief in equal measure some days. And he spoke their name, and he walked with them, and he forgave them and gave them the courage to try again. You know, after the encounter with Jesus, Cleopas and partner, they turned around and headed back to Jerusalem with a faith that was now focused not on a dead guy in a tomb, but on a living God acting in the world. When I wallow in self-pity or beat myself up for the things that I haven't done or can't do, I'm focusing my faith on a dead guy, not a risen Christ who will take what I offer and make it enough. The world seems pretty harsh right now. Blowing winds, changing climate, seemingly pivotal elections, all manner of selfish manipulation, fires burning, temperatures rising, anger not only on display, but in charge. If I believed in a dead guy, I'd probably give up. After all, we've had a good run. We did a few things right. We still have some pictures of Notre Dame de Paris, and we got stories about the good old days. That'll keep us to the end. But this is Easter, and I believe in a risen Christ, not as a part of historical debate or proof, but as an actual living sign of hope, as a call to me as a Christian to come out of hiding and live hopefully. Live as if God is with us. Live as if things can change. That's my job. That's your job. The risen Christ won't let us wallow in nostalgia, but insists that we invest in tomorrow, today. That we love right now. That we dare right now. That we forgive others and ourselves right now. That we imagine a tomorrow in which love matters more than profit or victory, and that we help build it in our homes, in our families, in our neighborhoods, where Jesus has been living for years, we just hadn't opened our eyes. But there he is, smiling, saying our names. I want you to do one silly little goofy thing for me. Let's do it together. I just want you for a moment to close your eyes. I want you to picture Jesus however you see Jesus. Jesus is looking at you, loving you with those eyes and that heart, reaching out to you with that divinity. You see it? Now I want you to say your name. Go ahead, Norm. You've just been called into a living faith. Not some wisdom wrapped around a dead guy, but real hope that comes when we open our eyes and our hearts to the presence of God all around us. That's Easter. He is risen. So are you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, it's so easy to get used to the story, Sure, it's exciting and we sing loudly. We enjoy the chocolate and the family. But every now and again, God, we need to be reminded that this story is more than a story. It's transformation. It's an invitation into a living, dynamic faith. So God, thank you for the story. Thank you for the inspiration. And may we live from this moment forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.